Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. We're so glad you joined us this morning and we can worship together. If this is the first time you are joining us, welcome. Please take a moment to complete the online connect card so that we can get to know you better and pray for you. As we enter into the last quarter of 2021, I would like to remind you that our AGM is coming. Each year, we hold our annual general meeting to share about God's work at Koinonia. For this year, the 2021 AGM will be held online through Zoom on November 28th, which is a Sunday morning. At the AGM, all registered Koinonia members will have a chance to vote for a number of important motions for our church. So please remember this important meeting in your prayer. As we enter into November, do you know that we're only a few weeks away from another Christmas? It was exactly a year ago our church participated in the Richmond Christmas Fun. Within just 2.5 weeks last year, more than 300 toys were being collected, and we have a chance at the church to share the joy of blessing many families and children in need right at Richmond. And Koinonia will continue this momentum for 2021. Yes, we will be doing another Christmas toy drive this year on November 13th, 20th and 27th. And on these three Saturday mornings, you can drop off your toy donation at Fraserville MB Church, which is the location of our weekly Cantonese worship. For more details about this toy drive, please visit our church website, english.mykc.ca. After almost 20 months of online worship, today I got some important news for you. January the 1st will be the last week of our online service. And starting January the 8th, which is the second Saturday of the new year, we will be resuming a few important programs for our church. Kapos Children Worship, Youth Worship, and also English Adult Worship. You see, this is a lot of changes coming up. And in light of all these new beginnings, we are currently looking for brothers and sisters to serve. And here are some most important and most urgent needs that we are looking for. We need 3 more servants for our site team, 3 more servants for our production team, and 1 more servant for youth worship. So if you have a burden to serve, you can go to our church website, english.mykc.ca/reopening, to sign up to serve. And besides the need of recruiting, I would also like to remind all parents to prepare for January. Please register your kids for Kapos and or youth worship. And in case you still have questions about our children ministry, Kapos, we are planning actually to have an important info session in December. So once you register for Kapos, we'll send you more information how you can join this important info session in December. And for online registration of Kapos or youth worship, you can visit our church website, english.mykc.ca, for more details. Now, as we prepare ourselves to listen to the Lord and worship together, let me invite you to stand. As we are wrapping up another year, let me use Psalm 90 to lead us into worship. Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man." For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Teach us, O Lord, to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servant. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servant and your glorious power to their children. That the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Church, let's continue to worship the Lord together.
Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever is yours. Heaven and earth bow down in the wonder of your name. Heaven is open, death is broken, and the glory forever is yours. Nothing can overcome the power of your name. King above kings, all the universe will sing. You are wonderful, you are wonderful. And the shout of the earth will be your praise. God forever and the light unto all will be your wonderful name. For the glory, Lord, is yours. God forever and the glory, is yours.
Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever is yours. Heaven and earth bow down in the wonder of your name. Heaven is open, death is broken, and the glory forever is yours. Nothing can overcome the power of your name. King above kings, all the universe will sing. Everlasting God, you are wonderful. You are wonderful.
And the shout of the earth will be your praise. God forever and the light unto all will be your wonderful name. For the glory, Lord, is yours. God forever, all the glory, Lord, is yours.
King above kings, all the universe will sing. Everlasting God, you are wonderful. You are wonderful. King above kings, all the universe will sing. Everlasting God, you are wonderful. You are wonderful. King above kings, all the universe will sing. Everlasting God, you are wonderful.
For the glory, Lord, is yours. God forever, all the glory, Lord, is yours.
All the glory and power is yours. All praise be unto you.
There is a king seated among us. Let every heart
there is praise, He will inhabit. There will be grace and mercy all around. And every burden will be lifted in His presence. Every trophy will be laid down at His feet. There is a name that reigns above all others, Jesus Christ, the King above all kings. Unto the Lamb, honor and glory. Worthy is He who overcame. Buried in shame, risen in power. He is alive, the stone is rolled away. It won't be long, we will behold Him, and every tear He'll wipe away. We'll be at home, the war will be over. Soon we will meet a Savior face to face. And every burden will be lifted in His presence. Every trophy will be laid down at His feet. There is a name that reigns above all others, Jesus Christ, the King above all. Will belong to You forever. Holy, holy, for all eternity. Yours is the name that reigns above all others, Jesus Christ, the King above all kings. God, I look to You. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. In our uncertainties, who should we turn to? You, God. Almighty and powerful God, you are our strength, our shield, and our rock. You are the one that we should turn to. And we praise you in our weaknesses. Let us praise you in our uncertainties, and let us focus our eyes on you as we prepare ourselves to receive your message today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, please be seated.
How often have you said something and instantly wish you could take it back? Maybe you spoke too soon, and maybe it didn't come out right. And you let your few wrong words fly out from your mouth before you even have a chance to think about what exactly you were going to say. And maybe it was the expressions on the other person's face that make you really regret what you have just said. Oh, I didn't mean to. Oh, what I'm trying to say is, you know, we've all been there. You know, I've lost track myself of the number of times I've walked away from a conversation or an interaction that I'm fully convinced that it didn't go well, and I desperately wish it could have never happened. Sound familiar? We've all been there. And on the other hand, How often did you not say what you need to say and only self-talking to yourself the bold conversations that you should have with someone or the love you could have shown? And you know, all you are left with is the agonies of if only. If only I have spoken up. If only I have the courage to step up. We've all been there. If only. Today we're going to explore yet another psychic story in the Bible, and that's no more if only. The psychic, just like the supporting characters of the hero, take courage and step up at the right moment and help the hero to make wise choices. And eventually, she saved the day and rescues an almost unforgiving situation. Let me share with you her story in 1 Samuel. However, this story involves one of the most famous heroes of the Bible, which I'm sure everyone knows him well. Yes, David, the son of Jesse, the future king of Israel. You know, sometimes even heroes can make rash decisions that have bad consequences. So let's dig deeper and see what happened. Unlike Saul, who had become king of Israel soon after Samuel anointed him, David has a long and difficult preparation before his command as king. If you remember, David's first public success comes in slaying the giant Goliath, who is threatening Israel at that time. After the battle, as the armies return home, the women sang to one another as they celebrate. Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. And all of a sudden, this triggered Saul. And Saul was very angry. Please pay attention here. Saul didn't like the fact that he was second to David, and the saying displeased him. You see, it is ridiculous. People say things all the time, and it's hard to imagine these two simple lines of praise enrage Saul. And he was so mad and blown up and start jumping. What's more, and David have but the kingdom. And as a result, Saul eyed David from that day on. Saul saw David as a threat to his throne, and he wanted to get rid of him, and eventually forced David to flee for his life and wandering in the wilderness for years. In fact, David's time in the wilderness has not been great. In 1 Samuel 23, at one point, David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and saved the people there. But the men of Keilah were shockingly considered to surrender David to Saul just days after David rescued them from the hands of their enemies. It was just crazy. You know, David was betrayed by Saul before, and now again the people he saved. David must have wondered, what's going on? I save you people, yet you repaid me by giving me and my people away to my enemy? It's such a disgrace. And at the end of the day, David and his men departed before the people of Keilah had a chance to surrender him. And the king continued to run for their lives in the wilderness without a home for a very, very long time. And surely it seems like forever. Can you imagine what David had gone through those days? From a giant killer, the king's most favorite person, a man who has already been chosen to be the next king of Israel, and now to become the most wanted criminal in the country. A wanderer. The leader of the people of Israel? No, not yet. He's just the leaders of a bunch of gangsters, constantly been distressed and got insults and betrayal. And I can't imagine how much burden and distress David must have loaded on his shoulder. And the situation is not getting better. 1 Samuel 25, now Samuel died. Samuel the kingmaker, the prophet who anointed David, just died. Remember, David was still not the king of Israel just yet. And the death of Samuel made the promise of God even more remote, at least at that very moment. And this set up the stage of the story we are about to explore in 1 Samuel 25. And one day, as it happened, David and his men have been encamped in Nabal's area. And Nabal is a very wealthy man, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And Nabal was shearing his sheep in Carmel. David and his men were greatly appreciated by the servant of Nabal, as they explained, "The man was very good to us, and we suffered no harm, and we did not miss anything when we were in the fields, as long as we weren't with them. They were a wall to us both by night and by day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep." David and his men has done a great job in the wilderness, and they find ways to protect others from danger. And you know, that time, as it was the custom, when it was the time to shear the sheep, they usually have parties and banquets around the area, and most of the time, the banquet table were loaded with food and drink in a celebration. David was in the neighborhood and knowing the tradition, and have been watching over Nabal's flocks during the season, and so it's so natural for him to ask for some food and supplies from Nabal. So David sent 10 of his young men to ask Nabal for favor to have some donation from him. Imagine, David and his men have been protecting this shepherd for some time. And as a matter of fact, they did a superb job. And when Nabal's shepherds have been with David and his men, there was no harm, and those shepherds missed nothing. You get the idea. David and his men are the good guys and maybe even friends. I'm sure David and his friends have no doubt in their minds that they would get something from Nabal in return. But the reality is, David was dealing with Nabal. He was a harsh and evil businessman. And surely, the wealthy Nabal has like extra to share. But you know what? He chose to be foolish and express no appreciation at all. Nabal arrogantly pushed David and his men aside, and not only refused to give David anything, but he also insulted David and his family publicly, questioning David's character's integrities and anointing as the future king. Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their master. Come on, Nabal. Who would not know David, the hero who brought victories to Israel by defeating Goliath? We knew it. Everybody knows. But Nabal was just trying to insult David that way. You know, Nabal's response implied that David was a traitor, the rebel to the king of Israel. And I'm telling you, his response was a snap in the face to the messenger and to David. And you know what? This provoked David, and he was choked, and he's lost his temper, and he was enraged with anger. So to say David was just furious, we're putting it mildly. David said to his men, "Every man strap on his sword." And about he ordered 2/3 of his armies, about 400 people, to prepare for battle. You know, David is about to commit a mass murderer. And David said, "Surely in vain have I got all that this fellow has in the wilderness, and he has returned me evil for good. And God do so to the enemies of David, and more also, if by morning I leave so much as one male of all who belongs to him." Negativity spread, escalate, grow out of proportions, and wow, 400 armed soldiers are ready to row. David was enraged and ready to kill every man in Nabal's household. Can you imagine what is about to happen? Let's be honest. To stop David and his men from their mass murder missions appears to be impossible. However, what if I'm telling you this? There was no battle. There was no mass murder. There was no killing. Instead, that was a feast among the people and celebrated the joy of salvation. Wow. Would you ever imagine that this would happen? Seriously, I'm not joking. When nobody was able or unwilling to do something, this one psychic stepped up and turned things upside down. Abigail, an armless woman, appeared on scene. You know, sometimes even heroes like David can make rash decisions that have bad consequences. A psychic is like the supporting characters of the hero come in and help them to make wise choices, as Abigail did with David. So what happens? 1 Samuel 25. Abigail jumped into action. Remember, David and his men protected Nabal's shepherds as being a wall, shielding them days and night. And Abigail did the right things first to compensate these protectors. So she quickly gathered like 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep dressed out and ready for cooking, and many more. She actually prepared a feast as a gift for David and his men. If you look closer, her choice of gifts also shows a mark of attentiveness to the situations. They were no random gifts, but gifts carefully selected to address the immediate needs of David and his men at the moment. And with the gifts, Abigail also affirmed her loyalty to David. So Abigail sent off the gifts to David and his men. So she hoped the gifts would sweeten the situation and pave way for her. Then Abigail followed and rode out to meet David. To be honest, it would be much easier and even understandable for Abigail to have met David on the road and simply said, "David, please don't hold anything against me. I have bought the food and supplies for you and your people. Please spare my life." No, this is not what Abigail was doing. When she met David, recognized who he is, Abigail immediately got down from her donkey and fell on her knees at his feet. "Oh, on me alone, my Lord, be the guilt." Abigail apologized of the foolishness of her husband, and this wisely turned the atmosphere around. And at the same time, Abigail saw something important in David's life, and that is God's promise to David will one day come true. So Abigail reminded David of his calling and his identity. "For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you so long as you live." She reminded David that he has been called and appointed to fight God's battle, not his own battle. And especially battles against a fool like Nabal. If men rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, and the lives of your enemies shall be no more. David doesn't have to avenge every insult. God will do it for him. "And all the good that the Lord hath spoken will be done." David's chosen identity is to become the king of Israel. And when he becomes a king, he would not want to have these debt weighed in his heart and the guilt of avenging murder. So eventually, David came back to his senses and he relent. He graciously received the gifts from Abigail and aboard his mass murder mission. Wow. There are many lessons we can learn from the story of Abigail and David. The way Abigail dealt with difficult peoples and situations was something we would want to learn from. You see, Abigail kept a righteous man, David, from making grave mistakes. Her insight rescued David and those around her. She understood the lives of every person in the household was at stake. Yes, she could have run away easy. Who would have blamed her? Abigail, however, did not quit. She did not become angry or lost her temper. She didn't fight with her husband. Rather, Abigail just stepped up to meet David and talk him out of his horrendous mass murder plans. What a story. Proverbs 25:11-12. A word featly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Like a gold rain or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ears. A word featly spoken. This expression describes words spoken, yes, but not just any words spurred out. Words featly spoken are words that are carefully chosen, carefully placed in the range, and are in balance with the truth and with God's words. The author used the imagery to describe words featly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. And like a gold rain on an ornament of gold, words featly spoken is truly a thing of beauty, precious, and treasurable. And Abigail showed this kind of wisdom with her words and actions. And without a doubt, Abigail's speech is carefully worded and skimmed out. Remember, she disarmed David by pointing out Nabal's insensibility and taking responsibility for his foolish actions. She recognized her husband's mistake, for Nabal is his name and folly is with him. Then she proceeded to appeal David's consensus and outlining for him the destructive consequence of rashness. My Lord, my Master, you don't want to have that weight in your heart and the guilt of avenging murder. Her speech softly spoken, on me alone, my Lord, be the guilt, humble, seasoned with grace and full of kindness and peace. And through her speech, Abigail saved David from shedding blood and turns a potential fatal situation around and make it a source of blessings for David. In fact, David acknowledged, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed be your discretions and blessed be you who have kept me this day from blood guilt and from working salvation with my own hand. Abigail's speech is carefully thought of. While David is determined to revenge and only bring God into the scene as a witness to the disasters, Abigail, however, placed God at the center and always have David's future in her mind. David thinks this is the conflict simply between him and Nabal, but Abigail, through her featly spoken words, made him realize that it's more than that. It is, in fact, between God and David's enemy. We have the man in mind. A woman, especially in the ancient times, standing between an angry man and a foolish man. Both are very powerful, and God did not speak to David directly. God did not appear in a dream vision to warn David against his action. God did not send heavenly beings to David to advise him, and God did not send a mighty warrior and his armies to save the innocent life. God used a remarkable psychic, Abigail, an armless woman with words featly spoken, to take up the challenge and become God's instrument of peace and blessings. Not only Abigail saved thousands, hundreds of innocent lives, she also saved David and gave him a much needed boost in faith. And there was no battle or killing. There was no mass murder. Instead, there was a feast among the people to celebrate the joy of salvation. Sometimes the Lord may use you and I, just like Abigail, to intervene in a difficult situation. Someone has expressed an intention to take a particular action, and you see that it might cause some huge damage. Perhaps you may be the one that the Lord is calling to be the God instrument of peace, just as Abigail. If the Lord can use an armless woman, Abigail, to counter the 400 armed soldiers and save David and many innocent lives, the Lord will be able to use you to become His instrument of peace. So don't let opportunity pass by. You can be that person. There is another remarkable thing I noticed in this story, and that is David's listening ear. And you know, this is very important. It leads to his unexpected turnaround. You see, David, the remarkable man who modeled patience for years under the spear of Saul, somehow lost control. And frankly, for a period of time, he was like temporarily insane with anger. And as you read the story, you can see the potential danger, right? But the most incredible things that we see in the story was his unexpected turnaround. David listened to the wise reprover, the armless psychic Abigail, and aboard his mass murder mission. Wow. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. A wise reprover to a listening ear is a thing of beauty. It is like so precious, just like a lovely, precious golden earring with exceptional value on the person's ears. And that is how the author of Proverbs described the person with a listening ear. Think about it. David and his people are armed and ready to kill. And yet, he looked at this woman, Abigail, who he has never met before. And he stopped and listened to her without interrupting. And he turns around and changed his entire course of action just right there. Blessed is to be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. David understood it was the Lord who sent Abigail to save. And when God opens up and speaks, David listens and obeys the voice of the Lord. And I'm sure 100%, there are times when you and I may be in a similar situation too. And we may feel the same way as David, want to try to retaliate, get even, revenge. But then someone come to us and reminded us God's promise, grace, and His way. How may we respond? You see, God, when God intervenes, speak through Abigail, David stops and listens. Brothers and sisters, what about you? How may you respond? If one day God says, I want you to stop cursing others through the teaching of your pastor, do you have the listening ears and the willingness to obey and stop cursing? If one day God says, I want you to stop lying through your parents, do you have the listening ears and the willingness to obey and stop lying? If one day God says, I want you to stop sleeping around with your girlfriends or boyfriends through your Oikos leaders or mentors or youth group leaders, do you have the listening ears and the willingness to obey and stop and adjust your life? If one day God says, I want you to start giving through one of the videos you have watched on YouTube, do you have the listening ears and willingness to obey and start giving to His kingdom? David and his men are armed and ready to kill. And yet he looked at this woman, Abigail, whom he has never met before, and he stops and listens. And he knows he is sent by God to save. And David obeys the voice of the Lord through Abigail, and he turns around and changes his entire course of action just right there. So brothers and sisters, church, in what ways may God be calling you to hold others accountable? And what kind of courage do you need from God so that you can actually do it just like Abigail? And are you willing to humble yourself with a listening ear to the words of reproof and change the way you live? May we all learn from Abigail and David. Let's rise and pray. So Lord, give us wisdom in knowing when to open our mouths and give constructive words and when to keep our mouth shut. We want to be a positive influence, not a negative. Yes, we often struggle with knowing what is right, the right things to say and when to say it. Please, Lord, help us to keep our spiritual ears open all the times to the leadings and the guidance from you. Help us be the blessing to many others, Lord. And at the same time, please grant us the listening ears. And when you speak, we are willing to stop and listen to you and turn around and change. Please, Lord, help us. We hear your call. We are available. And yes, Lord, we are available for you. So speak to us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Slow.
sacrifice. Use me how you want to, God. Have your throne within my heart. I hear you call. I am available. I say yes, Lord. I am available. I hear you call. I am available. I say yes, Lord. I am available. Here I am. Here I am. You can have it all. You can have it all. Here I am. Here I am. You can have it all. You can have it all. Here I am. Here I am. You can have it all. You can.
As we conclude our worship, let me encourage you to participate and support the ministry of Koinonia through offering. For online offering, you can go to our church website, english.mykc.ca. And now let's stand for the benediction. I'll be blessing you with the blessing from the Apostle Paul from the book of Ephesians. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generation, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace, and we'll see you next week.